Thank you, Sam. Hope you're getting warm up here, by the way. We thank you all for being here tonight. We do have a number of people that are sick and people that are ill with the flu and with COVID, and we want to continue to pray for them. We, you know, I guess are like any other congregation. This is that time of year when people get sick, and we have a number of them that are ill, and it would be impossible for us to give you the names of all of them tonight. But at any rate, we, Ben, where'd Ben go? Hold on just a second. Let me see. I'm going to turn the fire out. Okay, you ready? There we are. You know, this morning I announced to you that we were going to talk tonight about the pot calling the kettle black. How many of you have ever heard that expression before? You know, that expression is what we call an idiom. And I don't know if you know what an idiom is or not. It's a group of words in a fixed order that has a particular meaning that is different from the meaning of each word on its own. In other words, it would be unrealistic for a kettle to call a black or a pot black. But there are many of those little idioms that we use every day in our life. You ever heard the expression, sometimes people bite off more than they can chew? Well, that's an idiom. There's another one that says, we're on the same page. Well, we're not really on the same page. Or someone shot himself in the foot. That's another one. Or how about this one? Boy, this is a piece of cake. Or they are in full swing. Or a bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. Those are all what we call idioms. Now, tonight I want us to talk about this one, though, because I think it's so important for us to consider. I would tell you that that little statement originated back in the 1600s, the late 1600s, and it evolved, and now it's referred to today as the pot meets kettle, or maybe out of the frying pan into the fire. You've heard that one also. You ever heard this one? It's raining cats and dogs. Well, it's not really raining cats and dogs. It never did. But that's just a little expression that we use to say that it's raining a lot outside. Sometimes we say to one another, well, I just need to be able to break the ice with them. Well, that's another idiom. And so we could go on and on to talk about those tonight. But in reality, you are the pot sometimes calling and accusing a particular person of doing something that you are guilty of yourself. For an example, you accuse a fellow of being lazy when you are lazy. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did in the day of Jesus. Many of them professed to be followers of Jesus, but they didn't really follow Christ. Many of them claimed to be religious, but they were religious, all right, but they weren't righteous. And God said, unless your righteousness supersedes the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, when we talk about the pot calling the kettle black, you condemn in others the things that you allow in your own life. And there are many, many of them. But what does the Bible actually say about how we are to live? You know, sometimes preachers preach on things that we're to abstain from. And we never get around to preaching on the things that we ought to be doing. And I want to talk to you tonight, and this is based upon the Sermon on the Mount, what Christ actually taught us to do. Sometimes life gets so confusing. And sometimes we wonder what we really ought to be doing. One of those things is the fact that we ought to be people that are praying, but that we are praying sincerely. You know, Christ said that in his day that many of the religious leaders would offer prayers, and they were mundane and trivial, and they were just sayings that they had picked up. They were not really speaking from the heart. They weren't praying because they had a relationship with God. They were just ritualistic works. And so when we pray, Jesus said in Matthew 6, 5, and 8, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing, he said, in the synagogue and on the street corners, simply to be heard of men. And he said, I tell you a truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, this is quite different. When you pray, you go into your room or into your closet, close the door, and you pray to your Father who is unseen, or your Father who is in secret, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly, one translation says. It adds that word. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans do, for they think that they will be heard because of their much speaking or their many words. But do not be like them, because your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask him. That's why the Bible over and over tells us we ought to be people that pray very fervently. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much, James 5 and verse 16. And so if we're not praying sincerely, it's just the pot calling the kettle black, folks. You would tolerate in yourselves the very thing that you would condemn in other people. Well, one of the things Christ taught is the fact that you worship God sincerely as well, and you don't worship with pretense. Pretense means that there is an underlying reason other than just worshiping God. We know that in the fourth chapter of the book of John, in verse 24, Christ said that, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, for God seeks such to worship him. But many times people just come to worship, they sing the songs, they don't mean it. I was reflecting on that a few moments ago as we were singing that last hymn. You know, a lot of times we know those songs, and we did this yesterday out at the Give Me the Bible conference. We were singing those songs just from heart because we knew them. And I'm afraid sometimes that we just echo the words. We listen to others singing sometimes, but it's not really coming from the heart. And that's where it should come from. For in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 19, the Bible says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord. That's why it's so important when we come together that we sing and that we rejoice together in the Word of God. In the book of Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18, again, Christ here mainly is addressing the scribes or the religious leaders of his day. And he says, and when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. You see, he goes on to say here, he says, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. Now, if you know anything at all about a fast, you know that really a sincere fast is when you do it and no one knows it. You're not trying to be pretentious. You're not trying to show off how religious you are. If you want to fast, and I've told you many times, there's nothing wrong with fasting. If people want to fast, I've fasted about different things also. Jesus never did command us to fast, but he did commend those who do fast. Now, there's a difference. Get the difference. Not a command. You don't have to do it. God didn't say you had to do it. But when people actually fasted sincerely, then God commended it. But he says here, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Make yourself appear to be very healthy, so that it would not be obvious unto men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees, he says, what is done in secret will reward you openly. You've ever thought about the fact that God created us to worship him? I think that's why he created the angels. You know, God is here, but he's also in heaven. And the angels rejoice. The angels sing in heaven. We know, according to the book of Luke, chapter 15, that when one sinner repents, that the angels sing, the angels glorify God. And so that's what they're doing even now as we speak. But God, who takes up residence upon this earth, wants us to sing and to glorify Him as well. We were created to worship our God. You know, people sometimes will get, you know, a number of people up before the congregation and call them the worship team, or praise team. I've always believed, and I will tell you again tonight, that the praise team is the church of the living God. We are the praise team, every one of us. It's not just a few in the church who are on the praise team. Every one of us are members of the praise team. And you go back in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 25, and when you sincerely praise God, you become a part of that worship team. For again, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we don't do that when we worship, then it's just the kettle calling the pot black, or vice versa. Because if you don't sing with the Spirit, how can you encourage someone else to sing with the Spirit and make melody in their heart? One of the things that Christ taught, and I think this is a very interesting one, is the fact that we should never judge unrighteously. Now, you've heard people take the book of Matthew chapter 7 as an indictment actually against judging, but that's not the case at all. Christ did not condemn judging. We judge every day. We do. Jesus said that we're fruit inspectors in the sense that we look for right, we look for wrong. Now, in Matthew 7, verse 1 and following, He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Fine. Now, here's the kicker. "For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged." He didn't say it was wrong to judge. It's wrong to judge unrighteously. And notice what He says. "You will be judged with the measure that you use. It will be measured to you again." And why do you look, He says, "at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but you pay no attention at all to the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say," He says, "to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?" You see it? The kettle calling the pot black. The idiom is there. And Christ is teaching this. And He says, first of all, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. "And do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs, or if you do, they may trample them under your feet and then actually turn and tear you into pieces." Now, what He's really saying there in that text is the fact that why would you preach the gospel to people that don't want to hear it? Why would you preach and teach the Word of God, which is called the pearl of great price? Or why would you go before someone who's turned a deaf ear to what you're saying? You don't. And that's what He says. Now, I think often about the absurd hypocrisy of coming and claiming, actually, that it's wrong to judge. Because Christ did not condemn judging. He just condemned it unrighteously, and that's what we were saying there a moment ago. Now, we are not to judge unrighteously, and a lot of people do. They judge without the facts. You know, a lot of people do that. I read something the other day that I thought was so good. A man was actually sitting by his window one evening, and he called to his wife, and he says, "Hey, there goes a woman that Charlie Smith is so terribly in love with." And in the kitchen, his wife dropped the plate she was drying, knocked over the lamp, ran through the door, looked out the window. Where, where? There, he said. That woman in the red dress on the corner. And she looked at her husband and said, "You idiot, that's his wife." He said, "I know, that's what I mean." You know, sometimes we're all ready, though, to expect the worst or to think that someone is guilty of certain things of which they may not be guilty at all. Now, let's not judge unrighteously, because if we do, then we become the pot that is calling the kettle black. Fourthly, I think Jesus in this text is saying, don't look down on anyone. You know, God is the only one who is high enough to look down on anybody. We don't have that right. God, listen, God does not put us in a position of looking down on anyone. He loves all of mankind. He does. And in Matthew 18, verse 10 through 14, he says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels are in heaven always, and they see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 and go searching for that one sheep that has gone astray? And if he finds it, what does he do?" He said, "I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than more so over the 99 who don't wander off. And in the same way," he says, "your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." And if we are not concerned about lost sheep, then we're the kettle calling the pot black. Folks, I'm telling you, we really have to be very serious about what Christ actually said. And the Sermon on the Mount is where we find these words. One of the things that Christ says is that we are not to be self-righteous. Now, there's a difference, but Christ said, when we've done all these things, let us say that we're still an unprofitable servant, and we're nothing more than just filthy rags. But he says that we are to be a people that are not self-righteous, but we are made righteous by the blood of Christ. For the book of Romans 12, verse 2 and 3, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will actually is, pleasing and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment," he says, "in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you." You see, he commends sober judgment, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 12. You know, we hear a lot today about identity crisis, or that someone has stolen somebody else's identity. People hack into their cell phone, to their computer, all those kinds of things. But you know what? God really knows us. And in that verse 3 again, he says, "For the grace of God given unto me, I say unto every one of you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think." You're not self-righteous. Not in the eyes of God, you're not. For his Son is the one who makes us righteous. If we think we bring about our own righteousness, then we're nothing more than the pot calling the kettle black. Christ mentioned something else here, and that is, don't forget to serve. You know, we stressed that this morning in our Bible class here in the auditorium, and that is that you and I are servants of God. That's why we're here. We have been placed here to serve God. We often sing those old hymns like, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." Do you really? You really want to serve? We sing the other song, "Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you." But do we really mean it? Or is it the kettle calling the pot black? Could be, couldn't it? In Matthew 10, 24 through 25, Christ says that a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. He said, it is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. Sometimes we find ourselves comparing ourselves to other people instead of comparing ourselves to our Father who is in heaven. He's the one to whom we compare ourselves. I mean, he is the perfect one. He is the example. We have a lot of people that say, well, I'd like to be like him in the church. I don't. I want to be like my Lord and my Savior. I want to be like him. But sometimes we fail. And Jesus said, you know, by the standards of the world, we think certain people are great. But Christ says in Matthew 23, verse 11 and following, he said, the greatest among you will be who? Your servant. Your servant. Not the rich. Not the people that are prominent, but the one who will be the greatest among you is the unlikely one, the one who will serve. For whoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now that's what Jesus actually taught, and that's the way we are to live. And if we don't live that way, then we're just a pot calling the kettle black. Don't mind earthly things, Jesus taught. You know, we get so wrapped up in the world around us, don't we? We do. We start living like the world, and one of the big problems, I think, in the church is the fact that instead of taking the church out into the world, we have, through the years, endeavored to bring the world into the church. And that's why so many congregations of the Lord's church have departed from God, and many of them are no longer the church of the living God. They may wear the name. But I'm going to tell you something. If they don't quack like a duck, and walk like a duck, and eat like a duck, and act like a duck, they're no duck, folks. And that's not unrighteous judgment. It isn't. John says in 1 John 2 and verse 15, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. We have to love God, don't we? Philippians 3, 17 and following. Join with others in following my example, Paul says. Brothers, take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and I say unto you even now with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, and their God is their own stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control and will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Isn't that what we want? Revelation 2, verse 20, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess by the teaching she misleads my servant into immorality and the eating of food sacrificed unto idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. Do you know there are too many people like that in the church? They hear sermon after sermon, and they know what they ought to do. But they stay steeped in their immorality. They stay steeped in their weak faith, their pretentious ways. And folks, you can't live like that and really be a child of God. You just cannot do it. He says, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering and will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways and I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Isn't that what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10? Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we must persuade men, and that we're going to be judged by the deeds of the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And if we don't turn our lives around and start living like God wants us to live, it's just simply the pot calling the kettle black. You know, there's so much hypocrisy out in our world. I read a thing the other day that I thought was really pretty interesting. You know, you buy a pound of sliced ham. You know what they do with it? They put it in a plastic bag. You buy a loaf of bread in a plastic bag. You buy a gallon of milk. It's in a plastic container. Or you buy a pack of napkins in a plastic wrap. Or a store-made salad in a plastic tub. A plastic bottle of mustard and ketchup. You buy water. Its container is plastic. But they tell us how bad plastic is, and they send all of it home in a plastic bag. How many of you remember when you carried groceries out of the store in a paper bag? Remember that? Yeah. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? No, it doesn't. And you know what? That's the pot calling the kettle black. God, last of all, is just in his judgment. And he teaches us to be the same. You know, you've heard people often say that God is a just God, and he is a just God, and I'm thankful for his justness. God is a God who is perfectly holy, good, and just. Holy, these are words that describe our Father in heaven. Think about them. Holy, merciful, loving, all-powerful, faithful and true, gracious, pure. He is sovereign. He is a God of love. And in John 5:28 through 30, he says, "Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." God is a just God, and he's going to judge you, and he's going to judge me on the basis of righteous judgment. But when we find ourselves judging other people instead of our own lives, you know, the Bible is replete in telling us to examine our own lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, other places as well. Sometimes if we were to judge our own lives, we might find that we maybe are a little bit more hypocritical than we really thought we were. Hypocrisy is the state of pretending to have beliefs, opinions, virtues, feelings, qualities, or standards that one does not actually have. And that's what it means for the pot to call the kettle black. Hypocrisy involves the deception of others, and it is a lie. And the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's why we're told to repent and be baptized and to commit ourselves to Christ in every way, folks. I hope that we understand that. It's not just an idiom. Sometimes it's the way people actually think in their lives. We're going to sing a song of encouragement here in just a moment, and Sam has selected and announced that number. And if perchance you're here tonight and not a Christian and you want to obey the gospel and become a child of God, then God's door is always open. He is receptive to those who come to him. He said, "They that come to me, I will in no wise cast out," and he doesn't. And if you're a Christian, you've strayed away from God, you've missed the mark, and maybe as we mentioned this morning, you have misplaced your cross. and find it tonight while we stand and while we sing.